Welcome back to Copper Country Today. I'm your host, Rick Allen. Joining me in studio right now from MSU Extension is Erin Carter. She's an Extension educator here to talk about MSU Extension and some of the programs that they have going on. Erin, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
Well, it's my pleasure. MSU Extension, now, you know, having gone up to the Houghton County Arena several times, I, of course, see the sign up there, and I always went, oh, that's pretty neat. You know, the Spartans are here. They, you know, they didn't do as well in the tournament as I would have liked. But,
I know, sad.
But other than that reference of Michigan State, I really don't know what goes on up there, and I was wondering if you can tell me about it.
Well, Michigan State University is a land-grant university, and that happened 100 years ago. And what they do is that education is supposed to be throughout the entire state. And I think what people they don't realize is that we actually have four institutes. We have the Agriculture Institute, which everybody knows about that one. You know, they send their bugs in the envelope and we try to look at that. Actually, that's not my area. But then we also have the Children and Youth Institute, but that's where 4-H comes out of. And we end up having many, many kids that are involved in that throughout the state. And again, that's not my institute, but I'm in the Health and Nutrition Institute, which is an area that people don't realize where we are or the things that we do. We have five teams, actually. We work with social, emotional, nutrition and physical activity, extension health research, which is part of what I do, and also disease prevention and management.
So MSU Extension is not a satellite of Michigan State University, like where you take classes and you earn a degree.
Right. That's exactly right. No, we don't necessarily have classes through Michigan State. We are Spartans. We have our helmet around everywhere. We're branded, but we do education for the community.
You said there was four programs. You mentioned three.
Well, we have the agriculture, we have Health and Nutrition Institute, we have greening, that's greening. The one I missed,
okay.
And then we have the child and youth, which is 4-H.
All right. How does the public get involved in these?
We have so many programs that are involved. They can contact their extension office, which is in every county throughout Michigan. They can also go online, and they can just even Google Michigan State University Extension and get involved that way, too. And all the programs are listed there.
Okay. Everything takes place up at the arena there?
For us, yeah. We have things that are located there. But then also for some of the programming, we do it wherever we can, wherever there's a room that we can use, or we feel that a lot of people in the community would be involved in. You know, for instance, we have different classes that go on maybe where an assisted living is or things like that. Mm. We try to also move the classes where the people are.
You also bring in a number of guests from out of the area, whether they're connected with Michigan State, downstate, or from, you know, other organizations, because we see some of these presentations given on, it says, you know, put on by MSU Extension.
Right. We try to partner with other people, maybe in different sort of different areas, but we try to bring them up too, so that we can also bring that education to our communities as well. Hmm. Right. So we do try to really have strong partnerships.
Are there a lot of MSU extensions throughout the state or throughout the Great Lakes states?
We are. We're in every single county throughout the state. I believe, don't quote me, but I believe it's about 600 employees, 700 employees that are with Extension.
So there's like 83 MSU extensions, or there's that many of them?
I believe that we are 15 different districts, and it's all throughout the whole state.
So the MSU extension in Houghton County would serve the counties around it?
Right.
Gotcha.
We do.
Okay.
Yep. We all, especially in the UP, for all of our educators, we all get in our cars and we kind of live out of our cars, so we're used to traveling all over the place.
So it sounds like a reporter.
Yeah, it really does. It really does.
Well, since we're just talking generally about different programs that you offered, you know, people are going to be familiar with the 4-H because of
right.
They see the exhibits at the arena and stuff.
Which is great, which is fantastic.
How do kids get involved in that?
They can also call the Houghton County office, too, if they want to do that, or they could go online, and kids can get involved in all the different programs that we have through 4-H. Since that's not exactly my area, I'm not completely versed on everything that they offer, but I know that my daughter's involved, my son's involved, Expo Days is coming up, which is phenomenal. I mean, kids can go down, they get on a bus from here, they go down to Michigan State, they meet kids from all over the state, and just have a blast taking classes on campus. They get used to the campus. And then later on, and this is one of the best kept secrets, I think, is that there's possibility for scholarships to go to Michigan State later on if they're involved through 4-H.
Yeah, pretty neat.
And so it's kind of one of the things that people didn't know about. And to be honest, I didn't really know about until I got involved in Michigan State through 4-H. Hmm. So that's just amazing. And another thing, too, that I think is fantastic about the Upper Peninsula and us being involved, we constantly say up here, well, you know, nobody understands us in Lansing. We're just the stepchild off in the UP. But now we have someone who is over Michigan State Extension, and he is from the UP. He's actually from Munising, and he travels down to campus. I think he switches every other week. So he'll be in Munising 1 week, and then he'll be down on campus. And he really understands the UP. So he's really, really helping Extension explode in a lot of ways, and including the Upper Peninsula with that. So it's very exciting.
So let's kind of bring it a little bit more into your comfort zone there with health and nutrition.
Okay.
What kind of, you're an educator. So what kind of programs do you normally run?
I run different programs. I run Dining with Diabetes, which we're going to talk about. I run Matter of Balance, Diabetes Path, which is personal action toward health. And I also just do general presentations on nutrition, physical activity. I try to get involved in the community with different health fairs. I'm also housed at Marquette, too, so I have an office down there as well as here. So I go back and forth offering all of those programs in both counties and the counties in between.
All right, well, let's start with the Dining with Diabetes, since that's the one that's coming up, and we're going to be talking a little bit about this. And the health and fitness of people who are diabetic, it's so important to just their entire well-being. And I can say this as somebody who's married to a diabetic. My father was a diabetic before he passed a couple of years ago. Mm. I've seen the struggles that they have gone through. And for years, my doctor has, kind of treated me as if I'm on a clock. Like, one day you will be diabetic.
So I
might be, leaving him surprised, because when my wife became diabetic, and this was probably now about 8 years ago, we had to start changing the way we ate. And so, even though I'm still not thin as a rail, I get a lot more exercise than I ever had got before, except when I was real young. And we certainly eat actually fairly healthy. So we eat healthy enough to where it's brought her diabetes under control. So that kind of gives me hope
that's that's what everybody's hoping for.
So I'm hoping that, my doctor is wrong when he said, I think I've got a future walking diabetic on my hands here.
And that's a frightening thought.
Yeah. But again, that was going back to about the time she was diagnosed, and we weren't eating healthy a lot. I was actually a manager of a restaurant, so I got to eat a full restaurant meals, a Chili's restaurant. With all of the sodium and the fat and everything that would be involved in taking a large chain restaurant, Buffalo Wild Wings, Applebee's, any one of those, and saying, okay, every single day you can eat whatever you want, your diet's not going to be that great over time,
And it's hard enough when somebody isn't, doesn't have that right in their face.
Right.
Yeah.
So we had to make some hard choices.
Yeah, it's not easy. That's for sure.
So the program, what will you address in the program?
Well, actually, Dining with Diabetes is one of my favorites because, like you were saying, it's not the easiest thing in the world to change, but on the other hand, it is possible to change eating habits and physical activity. So what Dining with Diabetes does is it's a 2-hour class. We meet 4 times, and the 5th time is like a bonus time when we all get together after about a month and we see how things are going. But what we do is, for the first hour, we do education and we talk about those things, and we also make plans, your physical activity plan. What are you going to do? Your nutrition plan. What are you going to do? What are some of the goals that you have this week? And we try to make those goals specific so that people really will be able to feel empowered during that next week coming up, that they can do these different things and make these changes. And what's usually a small group, it's a small group where people feel safe and they can really talk about, some of the things that they're struggling with maybe. Mm-hmm. And then the second hour comes in, and that's when we actually do the cooking and we show people the recipes and things like that. And the people that come, they're just so surprised with, you're kidding, this is a portion, and, you know, we'll make a veggie fajita and, you know, different things like that, where they realize that, wow, they can actually eat. They feel like when they're diabetic, you know, everything's off limits. You know, they can't do this and they can't do that. And it's already hard enough to deal with a chronic disease, let alone now I have to deal with this every day. And how can I be a regular person? And along with this class, we also do a diabetes prevention program class too, where we also get into the weight loss part of things, the physical activity, where we just focus on that. Whereas dining with diabetes kind of puts in the fun part. And people don't have to be diabetic to come to the class either. They could be a spouse or a friend or just living in the house or whatever, helping somebody with diabetes to see what the difference is and see how easy it can be. I shouldn't say completely easy because it's not, but to start making those steps towards change.
So you don't have to be diabetic to be involved in this.
No.
Are there certain signs or risks that you would, you know, maybe identify that says, you know what, I should be prepared for this or to head this off?
Well, unfortunately, as we get older, that's one of the things that we get a better chance of having diabetes. As we get older, weight loss can, you know, increase, those type of things. So those are some of the things that you can look for if there's extreme thirst, extreme urination, things like that. But usually it's a blood sugar thing. The doctor would probably do some sort of test there to see where your A1C is, but that's like a whole nother topic.
If diabetes seems to be runs in your family,
and
are you
also
likely? Okay, I wasn't sure if it was, you know, partly genetic there.
Yeah, it is. But also, you know, controlling what you eat, controlling your weight, and also getting that physical activity, it really does, like you were saying, I mean, it really does ward that off.
I've seen in studies where they've studied diabetes that they've given mice high-fat diets in order to cause them to be diabetic. But do you have to have a really bad diet to become diabetic in the first place?
No, there are some people that get away with it. You know, it's kind of like one of the things where you hear, you know, a 95-year-old person has been smoking and drinking and they've been getting away with it somehow. And they, I don't know, maybe we should just grab those genes and see what's up. But unfortunately, that's usually not the case. Those are the rare cases. So usually if somebody's not taking care of themselves from the get-go, but it can be reversed. That's the exciting part. You know, you can start exercising. You can start watching. You can just make those small changes to really make a difference in your life over time.
Now, of course, we want to encourage people to take the course, so we can't give, you know, sort of like spoiler alert, we can't give you all the information over the air here because, we want you to get involved. We want you to be in a situation where you can ask questions and learn from the other people around you. But what are some of the things that people might be faced with if they're eating sort of the regular American meat and potatoes diet that they'll have to adjust to if they start trying to eat, you know, in a way that will help either prevent or reduce the effects of diabetes?
Well, we always talk about increasing fruits and vegetables. And one of the things that we talk about, in fact, in diabetes path class, in our DPP, diabetes prevention program, and also in dining with diabetes, we talk about MyPlate. And that's online too. You can go to myplate.gov even. And it will show you a plate, and half of that plate should be fruits and vegetables. And when you're diabetic, most of it vegetables. And then small portions of meat and small portions of bread or milk or those type of things. But smaller portions of those other things, where let the fruit and vegetables take over. And that usually helps out.
Because there's, you know, you have to watch for certain kinds of sugars when you're diabetic. One of the things that we learned was how carbohydrates are, you know, can affect you when you're diabetic, and what is a carbohydrate. And so you think, like, okay, if you're going to, you know, eat a burger, the bun is a carbohydrate. And so if you're trying to limit, you know, like with again, I'm just kind of referring back to my wife because we've had to deal with this all the time. If she's looking at trying to keep one serving of a carbohydrate and no more, well, if you're going to eat a bun or say a sandwich, there's two slices of bread on that sandwich. So there are two servings of carbohydrates on that sandwich.
And depending on the size.
True, yes. And, you know,
portion is huge.
Potatoes. So having, you know, your French fries with it, where she's had to reduce the amount of French fries that she has or not have them at all.
Right.
Because they, you know, one of the triggers of things that were causing her an issue. So it was things that we didn't normally think of because we don't eat a lot of sugars. Again, though, we never ate a real high fat diet, but, you know, there was a lot of things that were in there that normally you wouldn't associate with, you know, this could be a problem for a diabetic, and turns out that they are.
Well, and don't you think a lot of it is planning? If you knew that you were going to go to, let's say, Chili's, and you knew that that was a day that you wanted to go and you were probably going to have some French fries and whatever, maybe during the rest of the day, you could have planned differently so that you could have lowered the sugars during that day. And then, you know, then you could have not felt like you were so deprived, because if you're deprived too, that also doesn't play in your favor most of the time. So if you plan during the day, that might make it a lot easier, yeah. You know.
And we just simply made, you know, there's some other adjustments. Instead of having a bun or a piece of bread, wrap something in a tortilla.
Right.
And it be, you know, and then all of a sudden it becomes a whole lot healthier for
you. Well, and what kind of tortilla is it? You could also change the kind of tortilla it is. Or sometimes you can make ones, you know, make different bread substitutes at home. You know, a lot of people are talking about cauliflower now. I mean, you can change cauliflower around and rice that and make that into kind of a bun-ish type thing.
I love cauliflower, actually. Rice, you know, white rice is bad for you. Brown rice, much better. You know,
it gets confusing.
Yeah.
It really does. Or could you switch that out and try quinoa instead?
What's that?
Quinoa is, it's a grain, but it has a lot of protein in it. I don't really know how to describe it any more than that, but it's really easy. And all you have to do is boil it, and you can add it to anything, and you can make salads out of it. You can add it instead of rice.
And then also, I guess you have to watch out for things that people either tell you or you think sound great, wheat pasta. We thought wheat pasta was the answer to all our problems. And then she picked up the box and said, I better, you know, check and look. You know, we started buying wheat pasta so we can eat all the spaghetti that we want, you know, and not have to worry about any carbohydrates. And then it turned out that it really wasn't that much of a reduction.
Isn't that interesting?
So, you know, so even though it was supposed to be, you know, much better for a diabetic, yeah, but it's really the portion size is still what comes into play. It's not, you know, it's sort of like a diet cookie that people say, this is a low fat cookie. I can eat the whole box.
Right. Remember the low fat craze too. You know, I can eat the whole box of those because they're all low fat. So, but again, it's the portion sizes of everything. And it was like you were saying too, reading the labels and really understanding the labels. I know that there has been talk anyway of them changing the labels so that they're a lot easier to read. But, you know, to really look at the labels and see what's inside of things and see what sugars are in there, peanut butter, where, you know, it's a great source of protein, but it depends what kind of peanut butter you get for how much sugar is involved in those type of things. So it does make it hard at first, but then once you know what products that you can get that don't have a lot of sugar or those type of things, you know that you can just grab them off the shelf a lot faster. So that's nice.
How much improvement can somebody expect to say, you know, say they're type 2 diabetic, they're taking insulin shots and they need to, you know, they need to worry about health and their nutrition anyways. Realistically, I mean, are they looking at to where they can bring diabetes under control and no longer need insulin? Can that happen?
Well, everybody is different, and I know that it does happen for some people, but I know that it's a struggle too. So I guess what I would say that there's a possibility for some people. You know, everybody is going to be different, and their doctor is going to be in charge of all of that. But there is an opportunity to also improve quality of life too. So that's important too. I mean, if you're eating healthier and you're getting exercise, you're going to get all of those benefits and feel better overall too.
And I suppose, you know, you can keep the reverse in mind. If you've been recently diagnosed with diabetes, but you're, you know, it's so in a low impact stage, you want to bring that under control now much more than later.
And you get a better chance then.
Correct.
Yeah.
Somebody wants to be involved in this program. How do they sign up?
Well, they could give me a call. I make it a lot easier if I just use my cell. So they can give me a call at 906- 469-4572, or they can email me, ecarter@msu.edu. And also I wanted to say to help, Aspirus also helped out putting this program together too, so that was great. And it is a $20 charge, but we do offer scholarships for people that would like to get involved.
Will you be doing any eating when you're in this class?
Yeah, we do. And actually, sometimes people take some of the food home, so that's always a bonus.
Yeah, so, I was going to say 20. So it's a, you said 4 weeks with a fifth bonus week. So $20 probably doesn't really cost cover the cost of the food.
No, it really doesn't. Yeah. But don't tell any of our fiscal people.
All right, so you get a great meal out of it. Definitely learn quite a bit. And you said they're every Tuesday except for June 20th.
Right.
And they're 5 to 7 p.m. And where does this take place?
At Aspirus at their Houghton Clinic right by Walmart.
Okay. In addition to dining with diabetes, you had mentioned that there were other programs. And we still had a few minutes left, so I wanted to see, you know, if you could talk about other things that people might be interested in through the MSU extension coming up that they'll want to watch out for and maybe get involved in.
Sure. We have a class coming up. It's called Matter of Balance, and that's to help seniors. So fall preventions are very expensive for everyone, and they're very frightening for a lot of people. So what we offer is, that's an 8-week class. We're doing that on Tuesdays and Wednesdays at Greenview Apartments in Calumet. And that's also through UpCap. And what we're going to do is offer those people, we enjoy exercise together, just chairside exercise, but we also help them look at their homes. What are some of the ways that they can prevent falls? Is their house safe? Can they talk to their doctor? Can they talk to their family about falls that may have happened? And we'd really try to help them out in that area so they can prevent falls in the future, or how to deal with even being a senior and the winters that we have. It's, you know, they feel so enclosed when they can't get outside and they feel like they can't go anywhere because of the ice and the snow. So we try to also help figure out what are some things that they can do during that time of the year. So we have that. And then we have our diabetes prevention program. I'm hoping to offer that through Aspirus also coming up in the summer months.
Well, what is that?
That's a class that we offer for anyone who's 18 or over. And they can already be diabetic, but it's somebody who is really wanting to prevent diabetes in the long run. So we try to help them with weight loss strategies, exercise, nutrition. We talk about different ways that they can change their diet, kind of like dieting with diabetes, just not the cooking part. And that's a 16-week class. We meet weekly. And then from there, we also finish out the whole year, but meeting monthly after that first 16 weeks. So that class is really neat for preventing diabetes because we actually are together for an entire year. So it really helps people instead of just saying, here are the tools, and then leaving them. At least for that program, we're with them for an entire year to help them make those changes to become healthier.
Oh, even if there is there may or may not be, I don't know, what a cost associated with those two programs, with PATH and with the diabetes prevention, it's probably something along the lines of what we're looking at here. So, you know, MSU Extension is not here in the area, I guess, trying to make a fortune off of offering these programs. So why do you do it?
I guess with health and nutrition, we're trying to make a difference in our community. We're trying to educate our communities because it benefits all of us if everybody is healthier. If people, it's cyclical. We all will benefit most if we are educated and we are healthier. It makes our community healthier too.
How does being connected through Michigan State University and then all of the extensions throughout the state, I guess, help with the effectiveness of these programs?
Michigan State, well, they do give me a job, and they let me have an office up here. But they encourage us to constantly make difference in our community, and they're always looking at the research part of things and looking at new curricula so that we can put all of those programs into our communities.
So sort of having that, the expert side of Michigan State University. I mean, the people that they have at their disposal, the curriculum that you talked about, things that they can provide to make these programs more available and more effective.
Right, and the trainings that they offer for us and I mean, it's one of the best places to work, really and truly. I've really enjoyed it. The way they're behind us and the way they really believe in this state is amazing. It really is. And, you know, it's helping, too, that they take each community and each county and really strive to make it the best that it is. And really, it's hard to believe that they're down in Lansing and they really do care about each one of the counties. Just amazing. It really is.
Even when the basketball team doesn't make it that far in a tournament.
Or the football team. I love how I become a Spartan fan, and now all of the teams, even the hockey. So sad.
Erin, once more, if you could give people your contact information if they want to get involved with Dining with Diabetes or the other programs that you offer.
Sure. They can call my cell at 906-369-4572. Otherwise, they can email me at ecarter@msu.edu.
Terrific. Thanks so much for coming on the program.
Thanks a lot.
Copper Country Today, we'll be right back.